KLYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosque Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. 505-444-7200. That's 505-444-7200. Or on the web at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you for your support of KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. Zach Forth, the president of the New Mexico Shooting Association, is in studio. Hi, Zach. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me on today.
And we're going to talk about some, I think, fun things about shooting. And it's not just guns, it's archery. And is there anything else people shoot? Is paintball like part of your deal?
Not really. It's... there's paintball and airsoft. I mean, I think a lot of people who are under the age of 18 who kind of get into guns, that can be their gateway drug, so to speak, into the world
sure
of firearms.
I understand paintball because paintballs hurt.
They can, yeah. The point is to not get hit. But
okay, but I'm slow, don't run. I don't hide well because I'm tall. And anyway, but that's a whole different thing. Hey, tell us about the New Mexico Shooting Association and your mission.
Hey, so, you know, thanks again for having me on today. So New Mexico Shooting Sports Association, or NMSSA as I like to call it, we've been around in New Mexico since 1934. We are the official state affiliate of the National Rifle Association, but we are an independent organization based right here in New Mexico. So, you know, we have a separate nonprofit charter here in the state. Our directors is entirely in the state, and most of our members are New Mexicans. So we are really a New Mexico focused organization, to promote the shooting sports. And, you know, a lot of our mission today in terms of promoting the shooting sports is protecting the ability of people to engage in the shooting sports and own personal firearms. Because, you know, as you and your listeners may or may not be aware, you know, there's been a number of bills introduced in the state legislature in recent years that, quite frankly, some of them, if passed as they were, could have actually ended shooting sports entirely in New Mexico. So a lot of our focus today is on focusing on preserving and protecting the ability of New Mexicans to own firearms and engage in the shooting sports.
Well, and we're going to talk about your perspectives on a lot of issues. Like, you know, I know that there's a faction in our state, political, and all kinds of different motivations. Hard to figure those out sometimes, but they would say that crime is based on guns. It's those guns that are causing all the crime. And you would argue that it's not the crime being caused by the guns, it's being caused by the bad guys out there.
You know, there's a certain type of political rhetoric that's used these days. Oftentimes it's called, unquote, gun violence, is what they like to call things, as though the firearm just turned the person and made them make bad decisions. Well, a lot of things go wrong in somebody's life before they ever get to that point of using a firearm in a commission of a crime. There's oftentimes failures in the education system, failures in the family, failures in the economic system. That's why they're turning to these different, you know, criminal economic enterprises because that's what they're looking for is economic opportunity. Different areas that go wrong. So when people like to say terms like gun violence, I like to kind of retort back, so to speak, with saying, you know, it's not gun violence. It's failed economic system violence. It's failed criminal justice system violence. It's failed education system violence, because those are the root factors that are causing us and pushing people to this breaking point where too oftentimes people find themselves in New Mexico.
You know, I heard someone say the other day, which I found interesting, they talked about car accident deaths, and they said, why don't we just call it car violence? Because there's a lot more people killed with car violence or in car accidents, and especially with, you know, drunk driving and other kinds of issues. So, you know, a car can be a terrible weapon as well, and we need to be responsible with all of this. And plus, I want to talk about some other things today. So in a minute, I'm going to ask you about your Second Amendment.
All right.
I want to actually read that because it's not rocket science. It's pretty short, but I want you to talk about that a little bit and talk about legislation you might be expecting coming up in the legislature. But today on this program, we're going to talk about some fun things too. About there's competition. One of your friends, she's the president of the Del Norte Gun Club, has been a competitive shooter for a long time. And I was so fascinated with that because a woman is president of a gun club. Now, maybe I sound chauvinistic, but that is kind of unusual, and Don confirmed it. But she has so much fun, and she has women from churches all over Albuquerque, including our church, Calvary Church, where she is, you know, shooting with these women, having a lot of fellowship, having a lot of fun. They're, you know, stretching themselves in terms of their skills and abilities. So we're going to talk about all of that today. Hey, let me read the Second Amendment. It says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Ratified by Congress the 12th of December, 1791. That's been in place a while.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty simple stuff.
It is. And, you know, we can, if you want to dig more into kind of the different texts and different theories in terms of individual versus collective right, I actually subscribe to the theory that the Second Amendment ratifies both a collective and an individual right to own firearms. Where it talks about, you know, a well-regulated militia, there is the element of, you know, states being able to have a national guard or a state level military organization, because at the time there was a lot of concern over an overreaching federal government. They wanted to give power to the states. So there is a collective right when you talk about things like the National Guard on a state level in the Second Amendment. However, it further defines who is able to own a firearm when it talks about the right of the people. There's also an individual right embedded in the Second Amendment as well. So that's the right of people who are not engaged in some type of National Guard or other type of state level military entity to own a firearm. So it actually, the Second Amendment codifies both a collective right and an individual right to own a firearm.
So Zach, what's been happening in New Mexico over the last 4 years that is, you believe, infringing on our Second Amendment rights?
So, to really what's kind of happened, and to kind of take you back of maybe a few years before that, you know, for a long time, most gun legislation happened at the federal level. Through the 90s into early 2000s, most things that were going on were happening at the federal level. However, as, you know, we've had, you know, different shifting because shifting politics within different political parties, you know, it used to be there was kind of an even split between, you know, there were pro-gun Republicans and anti-gun Republicans and pro-gun Democrats and anti-gun Democrats. But as the parties kind of have coalesced where it's become a lot harder to be pro-gun as a Democrat, has become hard to be anti-gun as a Republican, really what that kind of fractionalization between the parties has done is push things down to more on a state level due to kind of some of the gridlock we see in Washington, D.C. over the last decade or so. So what that is kind of, in turn, kind of pushed groups to say, okay, if we want to pass gun control legislation, we need to do it at the state level. In 2018, we had a new governor elected, Michelle Lujan Grisham, after Susana Martinez left office after her two terms in office. And Michelle Lujan Grisham very much comes from the camp that does not respect an individual right to own a firearm and sees the right to own a firearm as the problem in driving the crime that we're experiencing here in New Mexico. So with the turnover that we saw in the governor's office and the makeup of the legislature, all of a sudden New Mexico went from being a pretty friendly state for gun owners to all of a sudden becoming an unfriendly state in a rather short period of time. I think some people were surprised at how quickly things changed. So we've seen a number of different bills introduced. Some have become law, kind of the two main bills that have become law. There was a bill about background checks, basically saying you cannot do a private party firearms sale without going through a background check unless the two parties have some type of blood relation to one another. And the next one was a quote unquote red flag gun confiscation law, where if you, basically using a civil process to confiscate someone's firearms on the belief they may commit a crime in the future. However, what we've seen with both of these laws is that they've really been ineffective at what they said they were going to accomplish with them. And they actually really haven't been used much, in New Mexico, because they're these very abstract laws that were really written in such a way that it really didn't, mesh well with reality, to put it quite frankly. So they've been sitting there. No one's really been charged with them. No one's really used these different tools because they're really detached from reality of what actually happens with firearm ownership and with crime in New Mexico.
You know, that's probably the most succinct thing anyone has said on this program, that politicians don't mesh with reality. Did I put words in your mouth there? Because that's what I heard, and I hope people are at least getting a laugh out of that, because so many times that's exactly right. I know when they were coming through with the red flag law, I think that mm-hmm. was just the last legislative session.
So the red flag law, that was pushed 2 years ago. So it was in the 30-day session back in 2020 when we saw that red flag law.
But I remember sheriff's offices mm-hmm. from around the state said, yeah, go ahead and pass the law. We're not enforcing it. And they kind of pointed their finger at the governor and said, we're not enforcing that. That was very common.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, the sheriffs have been right all along about everything in terms of these gun laws. You know, we have some really fantastic sheriffs around this state who work hard, put themselves on the line every single day to keep New Mexicans safe. And some of the blatant disrespect we've seen from the governor's office towards these groups of sheriffs, and this is not about these groups of sheriffs who fight against these laws, they're a bipartisan group. Tony Mace in Cibola County, he is a Democrat, and he's one of the people out there fighting the hardest against these laws. Shane Ferrari up in San Juan County, who's also a great fighter against the laws, he's Republican. So, you know, this is a bipartisan coalition of sheriffs who's saying, you know what, they understand, because these are guys, seasoned law enforcement officers, veteran law enforcement officers who are on the ground all the time dealing with things as they are. They're saying these gun control laws you're trying to push, they're not based on what's happening. This is not what's going on here. This isn't going to accomplish anything. So what we've seen with this red flag law is it really just hasn't been used, because, you know, it really doesn't make people safer, because what you're doing it in the way that law is written, if someone gets quote unquote red flagged, you know, they're basically, you're sending putting a bunch of police officers into a very tense situation with someone who may not be in a good place to begin with. And that does not equal a good situation for anybody, either the person who is in a tense situation or the police officers having to go insert themselves there.
Zachary, aren't there already things in place without the red flag law? I mean, somebody is a gun owner. Maybe they're having some mental health issues, or there's some other concerns. There's some other ways to address this, isn't there?
I mean, really, the best way to address this is strong families and strong communities in terms of looking out for someone, getting, you know, being involved in your community, knowing the people there and being able to ask for help, and also being the one to be able to reach out and see if somebody needs help. That's really the real answer to this. It's not a law. There are things like psychiatric holds. There are things like domestic violence, restraining orders. There are things like that in place. But really, the real answer does not lie in government. It lies in strong families and strong communities of people looking out for one another.
And there are so many things which we can't cover on this program today, from our education system to child poverty in our state and other things which we happen to rank at the top of the bad list on across America. And again, I want to appeal to voters. Look, I don't want to ever tell anybody how to vote. I want to be humble and I want to provide information. That's what this program's about. But the truth is that I hope people listening will educate themselves. I hope that they will look at the way their representatives, including our governor, are doing their jobs. Evaluate that objectively in light of things that we're talking about today. And you may have your own positions, but I can't imagine that you would evaluate the people that have controlled our legislature for the last 61 of the last 90 years and be able to tell me with any support empirically that they are doing a good job. We should not be, as a state, ranked so low in education. We should not be ranked so high in childhood poverty. There's just things that, and I use the analogy of sports all the time, if we had any of our university coaches with the kind of record that our politicians have, they'd be fired immediately. We need people that are for New Mexico. And I'm hoping that this show is going to be an impetus to get people to start thinking and evaluating resources like NMSSA, the New Mexico Shooting Association, .org. NMSSA.org. There's a place to go to get some answers. And tell us a little bit about your website and what kind of information is available there for people.
So yeah, thanks for bringing that up. So our website, NMSSA.org, is kind of your portal or introduction to NMSSA. You know, where there's contact information for various different people within the organization. You know, people who do run, you know, the different shooting sports activities that we do. If you're interested in getting more plugged in with those, that information is there on our website. One thing we actually have up there that's free is we put together kind of an online introduction to handgun course. And let me kind of First, I want to qualify with this with, if you own a handgun, I strongly implore you to get hands-on training in a live setting.
Hey, I want to take a quick break, say thank you to our sponsors, and come back and talk about this at length in the next segment.
Sounds good.
We'll be back with Zach Fort. He's the president of the New Mexico Shooting Association. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Mid-high and high school students come to the mountains surrounding Pagosa Springs, Colorado for 3 days of hanging out, playing games, and waiting on God through prayer, worship, and Bible teaching, February 19th through the 21st. Spectrum believes that when we take time to listen to God, He will provide what we need: refreshed lives, refocused vision, and restored relationships. Let's seek peace on the mountain together. Details at calvarynm.church/events.
Now this, about Technicolor Joy from Skip Heitzig.
Paul understood that if you become a Christian and you follow Christ boldly, that the Christian life is not a playground. Man, it's a battleground. He got that.
Skip also has this to say about living out the gospel.
When Paul writes, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel, that's his way of saying that your practice must match your proclamation.
Skip has some excellent Bible reading plans. Look for them on YouVersion.
If you're called Christian, then live up to the name. A Christian must never live beneath his theology. A Christian must never live beneath his belief.
Here's more from Skip in this hotspot.
So consistency is the first tool, weapon, strength that will help you stand when the world wants you to fall. Here's a second. Unity. Hotspot.
This is a fresh thought. Listen up to Levi Lesko.
I love this verse in 1 Corinthians 9, where Paul says that athletes who run in the Olympic Games give it their all, disciplining their bodies, all to get a crown that perishes. But he says that we, as we run our race, should be looking for and thinking about a crown that does not fade. What can be such a big deal in one moment can quickly be reduced to something that feels so archaic. When trains first showed up, it was all the rage, because before you rode in covered wagons. But today, trains are kind of yawn, a relic from a museum. Why? Because we have airplanes. The point is, if we just live our life focused on this earth, whatever we allow to define us is quickly going to be determined to be a crown that faded. But as we keep our eyes on Jesus, we can focus on an imperishable, eternal crown.
For more fresh thoughts, go to levilesko.com.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700, or on the web at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. How did Zach Fort become the president of the New Mexico Shooting Association?
That is a good question. So I guess what you have to, it goes back a couple of years, and, you know, I've been kind of involved in some politics and with a number of covered different political candidates and campaigns here in New Mexico. And some people with NMSSA, you know, they had met me and they had approached me about potentially joining the board of the organization, because really that was around the time when the climate for gun owners in New Mexico was about to, things were beginning to change. This is back when Susana Martinez was still governor, but you could kind of see the storm clouds on the horizon. So some people approached me about, you know, helping the organization become more effective in being an advocate and, lobby for our rights as New Mexicans. And actually, one thing I want to add in, you read from the Second Amendment earlier, there's actually a right to own a firearm under the New Mexico state constitution as well. So as New Mexicans, we kind of have this dual right, both under the federal constitution of the United States, which supersedes the state constitution. However, we also have that right under the state constitution as well. So we believe it's important that New Mexicans advocate for the rights of New Mexicans. So that's kind of how I got involved. They kind of looped me in, and then before you know it, you're leading the organization and having a good time doing it.
Right before the break, you said you started to say that you think everybody should get training if they own a handgun.
Absolutely. So So my perspective, as someone who leads an organization like NMSSA is I don't like government mandates on things because oftentimes I feel like they're ineffective and can often be counterproductive. However, I strongly encourage people, if you own a firearm, get training with it. You can always train more and become a more proficient firearm user. So to talk about the class, I just first have to qualify with you.
Might just mention a couple of mandates that have affected New Mexicans in a very negative way recently. They would be things like mask mandates, shutdown of all businesses. Sorry, I got political there. Go ahead.
No worries. So, like I said, I'm not a fan of mandates. However, I strongly believe that as gun owners, we should take it upon ourselves to be good gun owners. And one of the ways you do that is to get hands-on training because you can always be a better marksman. You can always be more responsible of things. The more education, more training that you have. So when the pandemic first hit and everything was being shut down, we saw a lot of people buying firearms. Many of them were for the first time. However, they were not allowed to go get training with these firearms. They could go purchase the firearm, but they couldn't actually get any kind of hands-on training. So this was a concern that was being brought to us by gun stores, FFLs around the state of New Mexico, was saying, there's a lot of people out there. They want to buy guns. It's their right to, but we really want to make sure these people need some kind of resources. So what we did is we had some people who are licensed concealed carry instructors in New Mexico put together a real basic online class that's free for anybody to go take. And the purpose of the class is not to make you an expert. It's to give you some familiarity with a handgun. That way, if you are a new purchaser of a handgun and have yet to be able to receive hands-on training with some type of instructor, that you can begin being more comfortable handling your firearm and kind of knowing the operation of the firearm. Because oftentimes, you're not able to get a lot of if you go to the store, to an FFL today to buy a firearm. If the store is not real busy, oftentimes you can get a decent introduction to your new firearm from the sales associate. We have a lot of fantastic FFLs here in New Mexico, and many of them would love the opportunity to teach someone about, how to take down the new firearm, make sure they know how to use it safely. However, if the store is really busy, particularly like it was at the beginning of the pandemic, or you're not even allowed to really go inside the store, as often happened too, where you had to do this kind of this curbside deal. So it was just a resource that we put out there. We've left it out there. People have enjoyed taking it. They say, it's something you can have your kids take if you want your kids to kind of understand, how a firearm works as well. So that was just a free resource we put out there as NMSSA, as kind of a service to the people of New Mexico, particularly new handgun owners, because that's overwhelmingly the type of firearm that new gun owners buy. Oftentimes it's their first firearm is a handgun due to the versatility of the handgun platform. It's not very large. You can be concealed if you do wish to have a concealed carry permit. And oftentimes the ammunition is cheaper than either rifle or shotgun ammunition.
What kind of shooting are you into?
So I am really not a competitive shooter, which sometimes surprises people being involved with a bunch of competitive shooters. I know so many people who are so better than me at it, that sometimes I'm a little hesitant to go to the range because I don't want them to make fun of me that, you're the president and I can shoot way better than you. But I do it anyway.
By the way, your friend Dawn Amdor, it was kind of a cute interview. I had a chance to talk with her, back in November of last year. And, we were playing the, woman president of the Del Norte Gun Club, competitive shooter, and her husband, also a competitive shooter. Don says she can handle him with no problem.
He's pretty good too. I think both of them would easily outshoot me any day of the week. So, but Don is fantastic. She really knows her stuff. So it's incredible.
And I bring that up because I just want women. We've all been in the shutdown and sitting around. I talked to a nutritionist and a fitness instructor yesterday. Let's get off the couch. Let's get the women out and do some things. Men too. Got the New Mexico Men of Honor meeting, Saturday the 29th. They're going to have a thing called the Beast Feast. They're giving away a high powered rifle as a prize. And, this is a Christian ministry type deal. And so you can see in the faith community, there's a lot of people. And I feel like I have the right to say this because I'm a native New Mexican. I know as many Democrats in the state of New Mexico that are conservative gun owners that are Christians as I do Republicans. And I want to appeal to everybody. Hey, we have got to stand up for what you think is right. I always tell people to vote their Bible. I'm not going to tell you how to vote. You got to read your Bible. You got to listen to people like Zach Fort. He's given you some information today, and I hope you'll think through it. And I absolutely have no problem with people that want to dissent against what we're saying. Voice your opinion. Let's have the conversation. But I'm just not willing to accept things like crime. The reason that there's crime is because of guns, because that's not the reason there's crime. Absolutely not the reason there's crime. But here's what I want to talk about now. I want to talk about there is a fact that bad guys are getting a hold of firearms. Mm-hmm. How can we keep firearms out of the hands of bad guys?
So that's a great question, and it's a very multi-layered question. You know, in New Mexico, we have a huge problem with property crime. I'm sure many of your listeners either have themselves or they have a family member or a close friend who's been a victim of property crime in
Raising my hand. I've been burglarized.
In Albuquerque. I mean, it's hard to meet someone who either personally hasn't or doesn't know somebody personally who has in the last couple of years, either whether it's a car being stolen, a car being broken into, a house being broken into. We have a very serious problem with property crime in New Mexico. And that is one of the drivers of actual violence later on down the road is a number of firearms are stolen. Most of the black market firearms in New Mexico, in Albuquerque specifically, come from firearms that were stolen. And I really encourage people, you know, to think about, you know, how you do secure your firearms. Like I said, I don't believe in a government mandate on telling you how to store your firearm, because oftentimes it looks like someone who's never handled a firearm before trying to create some type of theoretical scenario that then they enshrine into law. And then you're guilty if you, in your own home, if you don't store a firearm in the way you're supposed to, according to this law written by someone who's never handled the firearm before. So, and that's actually, as a quick caveat, that's probably something we're going to be seeing this upcoming legislative session, is some type of bill that mandates what you can and can't do with a firearm in your own home. My organization is, we haven't seen the actual text of the bill yet. It has been introduced. I anticipate it will be here relatively shortly. But that's something that we're probably going to have to take a stand against, because the data shows that these mandates do not make people less likely to steal firearms, or make firearms less likely to be stolen, I should say, because they're ineffective. The people who oftentimes need to be following these don't follow these types of laws, because oftentimes are people who are following other laws to begin with, as well as what people find. So I don't believe in a mandate. However, I do believe that each gun owner should take the time to think about, you know, how do I store my firearms? You know, you want to be able to access your firearms in the case of an emergency where you need to. But at the same time, you want to make sure that, you know, if you have children in your home or something like that, or if you have, you know, your nieces, nephews, friends, kids coming over, you know, how do we make sure we secure our firearms? That way they're there exactly when I need them to be, but they're not there for someone who should not have access to them.
Zach, we're going to talk about this more in our third segment, and we'll take a break in just a minute. But before we do that, this is supposed to be a budget session, a 30-day session in the legislature. It seems convenient to me, learning what I'm learning about how the legislature works. A lot of people come on the program. Our friend Paul Gessing with the Rio Grande mm-hmm. Foundation, Carla Sontag with the Mexico Business Coalition, and they're always educating us on how the system works. It seems pretty convenient that they haven't put out the text of this bill, because they know people like Zach Fort, and probably both of the people I just mentioned, have a way to let people know about what has been proposed. And then you are going to encourage our listeners and others around the state to contact their state representatives.
Yes. So actually, if you go to our website, nmssa.org, you can find there should be just a box that pops up there where you can sign up for our email alerts that will tell you what bill has been filed, who filed it, what committees it's going to be heard, and when it's going to be heard in different committees, and also the floor session. All that information, we will send it to your email inbox. You just go there, you give us your email address. It's totally free, and we do not bombard you with 6 emails a day. We'll send you some emails, but it's not going to be 6 emails a day.
Again, it's information for voters, for yes. citizens. And you are a nonprofit organization,
yes.
and you exist really just to help New Mexicans.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. I love it. Zach Fort, the president of the New Mexico Shooting Association, is with me in studio. We have another half an hour up till 2 o'clock with Zach. Hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Adam Holtz, and you're listening to Plugged In.
Your dad never really thought of me as part of the family.
All because I'm not a monster.
I could help with that.
In the new animated movie Hotel Transylvania, Transformania, now streaming on Amazon Prime, Dracula is on the verge of giving the family resort to his vampire daughter Mavis and her human husband Johnny. But Drac gets cold feet because Johnny's a human, so Johnny cooks up a plan that will transform him into a monster to satisfy his father-in-law. It works. A bit too well. Hotel Transylvania, Transformania emphasizes the importance of family. Slapstick antics pop up, and viewers discover that the Invisible Man is actually unclothed. So we're giving the latest Hotel Transylvania a 3.5 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. I'm Ab Holtz for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
The largest investment for a family is their home. For decades, Carlos Griego and the team at Bosque Home Services has been taking care of houses. Now, here is Carlos talking with Jim Williams about some of the most common issues homeowners need to know about.
Carlos, what if you've had a slow leak? Maybe you don't even know it's behind the wall. How dangerous is black mold?
Honestly, it's bigger here than it is anywhere. So my business partner, he ran a company in California for 20 years doing mold mitigation, restoration, flood damage, and that's why we do that here as well. We've done more mold mitigation here in the past 3 years than he's done in 20 years in California.
Bosque Home Services, online at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com or 444-7200. That's HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com or 444-7200.
From the KLYT Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect would like to thank Essenmacher Family Dental for their support of KLYT, with services including children's dentistry, preventive dentistry, and more. Their new Albuquerque office is located at 8310 Palomas Avenue Northeast, Suite C, 505-372-0086, or online at essenmacherdental.com.
Zach Fort, the president of the New Mexico Shooting Association, in studio with us, and we're talking about guns, we're talking about so-called gun violence, and the best part, I think, the quote of the day is, we're trying to mesh with reality. What do you think of that quote, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, that's often, it's not just the gun issue, I think there's a lot of issues where what's written down into a law does not always mesh well with reality, so...
Yeah, that is so true and so well said. The New Mexico Shooting Association, you're obviously supporting shooting sports, mm-hmm. but you don't have to be a competitive shooter to be part of your membership.
No, you know, we actually, this may surprise people, we have members who do not actually own a firearm. It surprised me when I first found that out, but you know, there are people who they enjoy shooting guns, but for whatever reason, they personally do not own one. And I don't think they should. You're not required to own a firearm. You have the right to own a firearm, but there's not a requirement to own a firearm. So if you don't even have to be a gun owner to be a member of our organization. So we have a number of people who are competitive shooters. We also have a lot of people who care very deeply about our state and the direction it's headed in, and they join because they want to get involved in what we're doing on the issues of personal liberty with gun ownership in New Mexico.
I think there's an agenda. I almost think it's a media agenda. But they've ascribed a certain meaning to a couple of words. One is Trump, and you can only imagine what people think with the media, how they've painted that name and what it means to Americans. I believe it means something different. Also, the word gun has been painted in much the same way, or at least attempted to do that. I don't think that's true with New Mexicans. I think New Mexicans understand responsible gun ownership. They understand the aspects of safely operating a firearm. They understand how fun it is mm-hmm. to go shooting. So here's my question. Do you think that people that are against guns and have taken this other side of the fence, would they be maybe not convinced, but would it be important for them to at least have some training in firearms and some experience shooting before they drew their conclusions?
You know, I have found in my personal experience and also the experience of others that when someone is able to handle a firearm for themselves and take it to the range and shoot it, they understand what's happening a lot more. That, you know, this is not some kind of it doesn't have any life to it. It is merely a collection of wood, plastic, and metal, depending on the materials your firearm is made of. It's a tool. It's no different from a hammer or something like that. It is a tool that can be operated safely and can be a lot of fun to do too. In my experience, you know, when people have that opportunity to put a gun into their hands and understand the way it works, it doesn't always bring them over to our side. You know, they're not always ready to, you know, join my organization and go fight for gun rights. However, what it does do is like, okay, they feel like they understand things better now that, you know, this is not, it does not possess a life of its own. It is merely a physical object that it's a tool that is meant to operate in a certain fashion. And typically, you know, with most modern firearms, they do operate in the fashion that they're supposed to.
This isn't on our list, but do you ever cringe when you watch a movie and you see how Hollywood handles firearms? Because it's just flat scary. It's like no one's ever taken a gun safety course.
Yeah, I think what always comes to my mind with Hollywood and guns, there was a James Bond movie, I think where he shot down a helicopter with a handgun that was like hovering like 200 feet in the air. And I was like, this is not how this works. You're not like without getting to all the physics of what's happening, is like, it's not going to happen. You're not going to take down a helicopter. I don't care how good of a shot he is. Well, you just don't have the physics to do that.
I watch the way I'll watch, you know, the cop shows, and I'll watch how a line of cops is going into a door, and I'm looking at all the people that are in the back of the line aiming their firearms at the police officers in front of them. I'm going, this is not the way they're trained.
Yeah.
I mean, and people that watch that might just get this impression that these things are just terribly dangerous and no one should ever own one. But when you actually learn the safety rules, when you see the procedures that are taught, when you see the exhaustive discipline that is really required and actually is kind of fun to learn,
mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say actually, it is fun to learn. You really feel like you have learned something and that you also feel some sense of community because when you're using that correctly, you are protecting all the people around you, kind mm-hmm. of like driving a car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you learn the rules and you have some experience, you are protecting those around you.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you talk about Hollywood, there's very much a tension between, you know, kind of the Hollywood, oftentimes the actors will appear in movies with guns and then they turn around and, you know, kind of bash gun owners in some type of pre-recorded video or statements on Twitter, things like that. So there very much is a tension between the two. And unfortunately, you know, to actually kind of touch on what happened here in New Mexico, there really appears to be a very strong lack of respect for firearms within the Hollywood community. And that unfortunately had tragic results here in New Mexico where I've read a little bit of what could have theoretically happened because a lot of it's actually still wrapped up, you know, in sealed court documents, you know, with the exact type of firearm being used and things like that. But people really do need to have a very healthy respect for a firearm because, you know, it's the same when you're driving a car. You know, you have to have a healthy respect for your car when you're traveling down the interstate at 75 miles per hour because at that speed, you know, things can go very wrong. However, if you know what you're doing, you have a respect for what's happening. You can safely drive from Albuquerque to Santa Fe down I-25 without thinking about it. So it's the same thing with firearms. You know, when you have a healthy respect, you understand everything that's happening, you can operate it completely safely without really thinking too much about it because you want those safety instincts to be instant to where if something does start to go wrong, you know, your safety instincts kick in and then something wrong doesn't happen. So for instance, with firearms, you know, you don't ever point a gun at something you don't want to shoot at. So it's those safety instincts. So even if the gun for some reason does, which I have to say this, you know, an accidental discharge out of a modern firearm is an incredibly rare event. There are you may be more likely to be struck by lightning than actually a true accidental discharge out of a modern firearm. It is incredibly, incredibly rare. But when you always make sure the gun is pointed in a safe direction, not pointing at anybody, the chance of you actually shooting somebody, if oftentimes it's user error that causes the gun to accidentally discharge, nobody's been hurt. Everything is safe because you have those safety fallbacks you're always going to, like keeping the gun pointed in a safe direction, also keeping your finger off the trigger. You know, if you just keep the gun in a safe direction, know what your target is, know what's behind your target, and keep your finger off the trigger, away from the trigger, you're following these basic safety rules can basically ensure that you hadn't operate your firearm safely. And this is why I encourage people, you know, get trained, because you're going to have instructors, you're going to walk you through the classroom and hammer these things in, and then they're going to go to the range. And when you're on the range with a good instructor, if they see you breaking one of those rules, you're going to hear about it right away. You know, they're not going to go up there, surprise you, grab you, but they're going to let you know you're doing that wrong. And that's what you need to have. You have to have that training. That way those safety instincts become just second nature. It's just a natural reflex you have to make sure that you stay safe.
I feel like we're leaving out our friends that are archers. Are they part of the New Mexico Shooting Association?
You know, we have. So a lot of the people who do archery, often who are part of an organization, use archery for hunting because, you know, you can draw tags a little bit earlier if you're doing some archery hunting. So that's a lot of the archers that we have. We have people who also do like air rifle stuff oftentimes as well. That kind of gets lumped in because a lot of the same disciplines for shooting, you know, a traditional firearm and air rifles are very similar, you know, with that trigger discipline and trigger control as you're shooting the firearm. But yeah, we have some archers as well. I don't know if we've had any kind of archery competitions that we've had anytime recently, but we do have people who are involved in archery as well.
Well, talk to us about some of the competitions that are going on. I wasn't even really aware. I have a good friend of mine that has been involved in three-gun shooting, mm-hmm. but I've not really seen any media coverage of any of these, and I think it'd be kind of fun to see some of those events.
Yeah, so in Albuquerque area, you know, we have a number of different gun clubs around the area. We have Del Norte Gun Club, you know, up in Rio Rancho. We have Zia Gun Club, which is south of Albuquerque. There's also Los Lunas Gun Club, which is down in Los Lunas. And then there's a number of other ones around the state. You know, you've got Los Alamos, Farmington, Las Cruces. I mean, they're all over the state. And that's where these competitions normally happen. Like, you know, the three gun, which is, you know, you got your handgun, rifle, shotgun. The three gun competition is really, really popular these days because you get that diversity of different types of firearms that you get to go shoot. We also do, there's a lot of skeet and trap for shotgun shooting. That's a lot of fun. You know, you're hitting a moving object. I mean, hitting a stationary object while moving is fun. Also, being stationary and hitting a moving object is a lot of fun, too.
I'll tell you what, trap's a lot harder than I thought it was. I've watched a couple of those competitions on TV and said, oh, I can do that. I can only hit the birds when they're flying away from me. Those cross patterns are tough.
If you get the cross pattern, what you got to learn to do, because if you time it right, you can hit them both with one shot. But you got to learn to time it just right. That's a lot of fun when you can.
You have to have some serious skills. That sounds like James Bondish to me.
Not quite, but that's a lot. It's a lot of fun because we do have some great skeet and trap courses around the state. I think even the city of Albuquerque Shooting Park Range, they've got. Skeet out there. They may have trap. I don't know what they have right at this moment in time. But those kinds of competitions, a lot of fun. We see more high schoolers getting out there and doing that kind of stuff. And it's not quite as popular in New Mexico as in other states, but in some states, that actually skeet and trap shooting for high schoolers is becoming a really popular activity, which is great to see. I mean, you know, these are things people have been doing for a very long time. It kind of went by the wayside a little bit, but we're actually starting to see a little bit of a revival in high school types.
That'd be kind of fun to have that be part of the New Mexico Activities Association. I'm not sure how the politics would fly, but
so
I think it'd be kind of fun for kids to compete.
They do have air rifle for JROTC kids. I don't know if it's officially NMAA sanctioned. I'm not familiar with the NMAA side, but I do know they have air rifle competitions that the JROTC kids get to go do, and they have a lot of fun doing that kind of stuff.
Good stuff. Zach Fort, the president of the New Mexico Shooting Association. Their website is NM for New Mexico, SS as in Sam, AApple.org. So NMSSA.org. You can find out about a lot of information about shooting, shooting sports, competitions. You can find out what's going on in the upcoming legislative session, have some tools for you to contact your legislatures about how you feel about proposed legislation. And we're going to come back and talk to Zach about his work as the president and what he does, maybe talking with different groups and different things. We'll be back with Zach Fort. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You've heard various radio spots on this station encouraging you to consider attending Calvary College. You may have thought, that's more than I can afford, or I'm not a very good student. I couldn't take on a load like that with my schedule. This is John Chitwood of Southern Boulevard Automotive in Rio Rancho. I'm a teacher's assistant here at Calvary College, and continued education in God's Word is something every Christian should consider. At the very least, a single class each semester is possible to handle by just about anyone. It's affordable, manageable, digestible, and able to equip you to help you and those around you grow in the Lord. You can even audit classes and gain the same knowledge.
Don't talk yourself out of continued education again. Connect with the friendly staff at Calvary College to find the perfect fit for you. John Chitwood did. CalvaryChurchCollege.com is the first step. CalvaryChurchCollege.com.
If couples learned anything this past year, it's that living together doesn't always create feelings of togetherness. Well, Family Life's Weekend to Remember Marriage Getaway is back to help you rediscover romance and reconnect in new ways. And now through January 24th, registrations are 50% off. Experience what millions of couples have called the restart their marriage needed. Join us at the Hyatt Regency Tamaya Resort in Albuquerque on February 18th. Register now and save 50% at weekendtoremember.com.
KLYT welcomes this Weekend to Remember.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
The website of the New Mexico Shooting Association says their mission is to promote good sportsmanship and foster the conservation and wise use of our renewable wildlife resources, to promote competitive shooting events, to service the official state association of the National Rifle Association of America, and cooperate with other organizations of good reputation in carrying out the activities of mutual benefit. That sounds pretty political there. I'm teasing you.
It is more than we'd like it to be.
Well, the truth is that we live in a beautiful state. We have a lot of outdoors, mm-hmm. shooting sports, and again, that's not just handguns or rifles. You know, there's people that – I've never shot any of the flintlocks. But okay. That's become pretty popular too, right?
Yeah, doing black powder stuff. It's a lot of fun to do. You know, it takes a while to do because you got to load all those shots in there. And unless you're an experienced at it, it could take you a couple minutes to load each shot individually on a black powder rifle. But you get to shoot it, and then this big plume of smoke goes up. Black powder is a lot of fun. If you haven't had the opportunity, I encourage you to try and find an opportunity to go shoot black powder.
And those rifles are pretty long too. Are they accurate?
A modern one is relatively accurate. You know, it's not going to be quite as accurate as kind of a modern rifle, because you don't have all the rifling and all modern ammunition is designed to fly a lot more accurately than, you know, kind of shooting these old balls out of a shotgun, or out of a black powder rifle, which actually resembles more of a shotgun.
Yeah, sounds fun. Well, you mentioned your free course, Basic Handgun. That's available for free on your website?
Yeah, anybody can go, you know, sign up and take that. And that's basically, you know, like I said, it's an introductory. You know, if you own a handgun, you want to get more familiar with it, please go take that, learn more about it so you can operate it safely. And then go find, you know, a good instructor. We have a lot of great concealed carry instructors in New Mexico. People offer teach a lot of other classes as well. You know, as a nonprofit organization, we have to be careful. You know, we don't want to wade too much into commercial activity, but you know, there's a lot of great instructors around our state. So no matter where you are, you could probably find a good concealed carry instructor. Some of them offer like an in-person basic handgun class where you're going to get to spend a lot more time shooting different platforms of handguns. So I really encourage people, you know, get the training. You don't have to own a firearm to actually get training on a firearm.
Yeah, and I know there's different ranges that They have rental.
Mm-hmm. They had like that kind of thing. I know a number of different ranges have rentals, but oftentimes if you take a class through an instructor, oftentimes that instructor has firearms that they let their students use, you know, when they're taking that class as well.
You know, and people, they'll appreciate the difference between, say, in handguns or a revolver or a semi-automatic or something that even resembles kind of a rifle, but it's really a pistol.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just various platforms, as you've already mentioned, and it's kind of fun to learn how to operate all of those and have a chance to fire them. It's also fun to have a professional range instructor who's keeping everybody safe and doing all of that. And none of that instruction is particularly expensive. You get to spend several hours at a time doing all of this. So let's talk a little bit about what your work is as the president. You obviously have a legislative session coming up. I want you to, you're communicating with our listeners right now about what you do. How would you want them to help in this endeavor? Do you want them to contact legislators and that type of thing?
Definitely. So one of the things you can do right now, if you're at home listening, you're at work, go to nmssa.org and sign up for our free email alerts. It's totally free. We're not going to constantly bombard you six times a day. Unless our bill is moving a whole lot in one day, then we might send a couple emails, but that's telling you where bills are moving. We're not going to be hitting you up fundraising a couple times a day the way some organizations do. So, I would encourage you, that's the first step you take. Go get that information. Cause without the information, you know, you're not going to be kind of lost trying to figure out what's going on. Cause bills can move really fast. You know, it's a 30-day session. Things can move pretty quickly in a 30-day session to get them done. But what I would really encourage you is, you know, if you don't know who your state representatives are, you can go to the legislature website. You can put in your address and it'll tell you who's your state representative and who's your state senator. People need to go find that information because even before we have bills, we encourage people, you know, go contact them and say, you know what, let's focus on the criminals not attacking the rights of the law abiding. That's what's going to make things better is focusing on the criminals and how do we deter those criminals in the first place as opposed to, you know, focusing on an inanimate object. So really focus on that. Get the, because these people, all these criminals, like they need help. They need different programs and things. And that's, and focusing on the gun itself is not going to really, is not going to do anything. Because quite frankly, if gun control worked to deter crime, New Mexico would be safer now than it was in 2018. Mm. It's not.
Because not you've had so many people buying firearms in the last 2 years.
The people who are going out there and buying firearms is because they want to protect themselves. Mm. The people out there committing crimes is actually a very small number of firearms in Albuquerque account for almost all of the crimes with the firearm, whether that's, you know, someone robbing a place with a firearm, someone shooting with a firearm. It's actually a very small number of firearms relative to everything, relative to the entire pool of firearms, because it's these black market firearms that oftentimes traded at a fraction of the actual true value of the firearm, because they're stolen or what have you, or illegally imported. That those are the firearms that actually are used to commit crimes. And it's really these people, who are committing these crimes that we need to focus on. You know, we need to put things in place to stop someone from getting to that point where they're using a firearm in the first place. You know, there needs to be accountability, which is something we really do not have in this state. There are too many times, you know, I don't want to get too deep into this, but to effectively deter people from committing crime, there have to be consequences when people are caught committing, you know, lesser acts. Because what we have is a district attorney in Bernalillo County and elsewhere, and also in Santa Fe County in the first judicial district and also in the third judicial district down in Las Cruces. And there's a strain of prosecutorial belief that says, well, you just defer everything, defer, don't prosecute until they commit something really bad. Then you have to go in and do something. And this is not only in New Mexico, it's in other places as well, like in California and places on the East Coast. What's happened is when there is no accountability, when someone starts committing smaller crimes, that you have basically told that person that that crime is now legal and allows them to escalate until they are committing more serious crimes. So I'll kind of get off my soapbox a little bit on that. So to your listeners who are listening right now, I would encourage you sign up for our free email alerts if you want to find out what's happening with gun legislation in Santa Fe. Contact your state representatives and state senators. And then when we start sending out those email alerts about different committee hearings, when bills are going to be heard, because as New Mexicans, you actually can go testify in front of a committee about a bill. Typically, you're limited to 1 to 2 minutes, but you can testify to the committee members. And this year, it looks like that's all going to be done virtually over Zoom the way it was done last year. So you don't have to leave the comfort of your own home. You can, you know, just put up the Zoom meeting on one of your monitors and, you know, just kind of sit there and wait for the committee to get started. And then when it does, you can go testify directly to the committee members and say, you know what, this isn't going, a mandate on what you can and cannot do with a firearm in your own home isn't going to stop people from stealing firearms. You're not focusing on that. You're focusing on the victims of crime, quite frankly, when you're talking about putting mandates on people. Instead of focusing on the people who are there stealing firearms, you're focusing on the victims of people who are getting their firearms stolen. This is a type of victim blaming, and it's not really going to make anything safer. So you can go testify directly to them during committee hearings. And if you, and we will be sending out all that information of when these committee hearings are being held and how you can attend these committee hearings to go testify virtually, because it sounds like it is all going to be virtual this year. And we're going to be sending that all out through our email list. So I really encourage you, if you're not already, you can get our email list. If you're on the NRA email list, I encourage you to join our email list as well, because typically we beat the NRA in terms of getting things out quickly, in part because we have less red tape to go through in sending out our alerts. So if even if you're on the NRA list, I encourage you to get on the NMSSA list as well, because we put that information out typically much faster than the NRA does.
I want to read a quote from the Albuquerque Journal today in an article that says, "Governor's proposals get tough on crime." Here's a quote from Chief Public Defender Bennett Bauer. He says, "I am concerned that the focus is all on the police, prosecutors, and punishment and seems to ignore the effects that the proposals would have on the courts, public defenders, jails, and prisons, on what happens when anyone accused of a crime is eventually released." Bauer said in a statement, "The evidence is that people on pretrial release are not a significant cause of the increase in violent crime. And in fact, incarcerating more people before trial or with increased penalties will further harm our communities." Guys, that statement is as far from factual as you can possibly be. That statement is on the other side of the earth. The facts are absolutely 100%, 180 degrees opposite of the statement that I just read that is in the Albuquerque Journal. I can't understand how this reporter, Elise Kaplan, could allow that statement to be made in an article and no refutation, no journalistic critical eye was placed on that statement. I don't get it. What has happened to objective reporting?
If we want to get started on the media, we can, but I don't know if we have enough time.
Well, we only got about 2 minutes left.
To talk about biases in media.
But this is just an excuse to have you back on the program. And we said earlier, the media seems to have embraced positions that it's almost illogical for them to have taken, because I think in the case of New Mexico, when you look at the will of the people, you have people going out and buying firearms. And you're the first guy to say, "I hope you will all get trained, use that firearm safely." And I don't mean just an introductory free class that you offer, mm-hmm. but really get some training, get some experience. It's kind of like if you're 15 and you want to drive a car, you've got to go get 50 hours of experience driving with your parents before you can really operate that vehicle. I'm almost of the opinion we ought to have yourself determine that if you've got this firearm, go get that much training. One, you'll have a blast, and it'll be good for you.
Yeah, definitely. And you'll probably meet some really great people along the way. A lot of my friends today are people I met through the shooting sports community. It's a far more diverse community than I think. The people from the outside, you know, people like to stereotype gun owners in New Mexico. There's really not a stereotypical gun owner in New Mexico. It's a diverse community. There's a lot, the friendliest people you'll meet, you can really meet some really great people. So I encourage you, find a good instructor, go sign up for a class, and you'll probably have a good time and become a better gun owner for it.
You know, you've mentioned a few classes and some different things. I have a good friend of mine that is the president of the, I believe it's the New Mexico Security Officers Association, Chris Sweeten. He owns 3D Security. I don't know if you know him. But Chris offers a class in basic handgun. And what he'll do is he'll bring people into this class, 20 or 30 people, and he'll lay out the most unbelievable collection of firearms. He'll allow you to handle them, teaches you how to break them down. Mm-hmm. He takes you out to the range, and then he will actually go with you to a store if you want to buy a handgun. Amazing stuff. I'm
good
so blessed to have you here, Zach. Appreciate you being here, and we'll have you on again soon.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.